Begin the current daven Sefetz of Dazar Daf Tez Zayin. Begin 10 lines down at the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which was discussing certain items that are forbidden always to sell to a non-Jew. Behema Daka was a discussion depending if the custom of that place is for the men to engage in bestiality. Then, however, the Mishnah said, but Behema Gasa, large animal, cattle, is always forbidden to sell to a non-Jew, either because of you might come to lend and rent it, which that would be a violation of him doing work with a Jew's animal on Shabbos, or because of Nesuni testing it when it's by Shkia on Friday night. On that, our Mishnah continued and said, Agolim, Siyachim, this applies whether to even young animals like calves and foal, and in whether it's whole or broken, according to the Talmud Kama, it's always going to be forbidden to sell any large animal to a non-Jew for that concern. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda disagreed, and he said, however, that a shvura, a broken animal, is permitted to sell. And that's how Gemara elaborates in Tanya, learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda mata b'shvura. Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted to sell a broken animal to a non-Jew. Why? It's because it can never really heal and survive, and therefore we assume that when it's being sold for slaughtering, and the non-Jew is not going to hold on to it. Therefore, it's not going to be visible, the Jew's animal, by the idolater. Because if it was around, it would come out to be problematic, because then people might say, hey, I see that this Jew sold his cow to a non-Jew, I can also do the same. That would run into a problem, where even though by the broken animal, one's not going to do work with it, so seemingly that Rabbi Yehuda should be correct, that, wait, it's not doing work, so why does the Talmud Kama say it's forbidden? Now, the problem is because if it stays over there, people will not notice that. They'll see, however, that he sold the large animal to a non-Jew, and people might come to do that. Now, however, the that's the element of what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, is that it's going to be permitted because he's not going to hold on to it, because it's not being used for work, so obviously he's going to use it just to slaughter and use for meat, and therefore no one's going to see it around by his property, and that's why it's permitted. However, Amr Loi, but the Chacham said back to Rabbi Yehuda, but they use the animal for mating purposes to be able to have children from it. And since they can mate on that animal and it gives birth, so they will delay and they will hold on to the animal. And whoever sees this animal by the non-Jew will learn that, oh, I could sell even a regular animal. They're not going to be able to differentiate. And they'll sell even regular, a shalom and a mehemagasa to a non-Jew, which is forbidden. On that Amalahan, he said back to them, no, likisha teled, when the animal gives birth, then I'll agree to you that it's forbidden to sell even the broken animal, an animal that has an injury, to a non-Jew. In other words, what he was saying was, it will not give birth, which the Gemara explains, Amo, we see, because lemikabela zachar, the cow, whatever type of animal it is, will not receive a male, it doesn't have the stamina for mating purposes, and if it's not going to give birth, and therefore they're not going to hold on to it for that, and it's not working, so they're going to slaughter it, and therefore it's not going to run into any problems. That's Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with the Tanna Kama and said that it's permitted to sell a shvura, a broken, even large animal, to a non-Jew. Now, another halacha that the Mishnah said that disagrees with is ben b'seira mat b'sus. He also disagrees with the Tanna Kama regarding a large animal of a horse. He says that's permitted to sell to a non-Jew. So Tanya Lin, the Braisa, explains this halacha ben b'seira mat b'sus. He permits selling a horse ben neishu oisu by malacha, because the only work that one is going to be doing with the horse is a work she'in chayov nelechata, where there's no liability for a malacha d'iraisa. Therefore, we don't have the three problems that we had when we say, why not sell the himagasa? Because of doing work on Shabbos, if you might come to lend it or rent it, or in the third case of Nisuni testing it, where he might come to do the activity Friday night, it's not a problem, because it's not a malacha, what a horse does. Because what a horse does, it carries a person, where chay noises atzmoy, and not really carrying, it's not really doing malacha of itzah. Now, Rebbe Isim, and they based them on Rebbe, like Tanna Kama of our Mishnah, said it's forbidden for two reasons to sell a horse to a non-Jew. Echad mishum teretz kli zayin. One, because of, as we said, a different halacha in the previous daf, one is not allowed to sell weapons to a non-Jew. Ve'echad mishum teretz behem agasa. And the other one is because the halachas of not selling a large animal to a non-Jew. So the Gemara explains. Bishlam teretz kli zayin. We understand what Rebbe meant when he said you're not allowed to sell the horse to the non-Jew because of a weapon. Because ikka de kotel beschufe. There are those horses that they teach them that the horse should be a weapon, that it should kill with its own hooves, that whoever falls, when the enemy falls, that the horse should step on that person and kill him. That's where the word tzichufe is, where that's the way the foot of the animal it comes down, because the word tzichufe means actually like tzichufe kus, like turning a cup upside down, where it comes downward. So that's why we understand what he means, you can't sell a horse because like a weapon. El Teres Behem Agasa, but regarding the halacha of that the reason why it's forbidden is because you're not allowed to sell a large animal, Mahi, what is that? As Ben Meseri said, that it's not doing any malacha that's chayav achatas, that we should decree that you're not allowed to sell because you might come to test it out Friday evening and then do mechamer. That Rabbi Yechanan says, because likashiyaskin, when a horse gets older, matchine berechayayim b'shabbos, they go ahead and they have it grind at the mill on Shabbos, which that's av malacha of teichin, and therefore the animal will be violating shvitzas b'amtei, and that's why it's forbidden to sell a horse, even as the halacha of teres b'magasa, because it will be violating the malacha of shvitzas b'amtei in Shabbos. However, the Gemara concludes, Rabbi Yechanan halacha k'bem meserah, halacha falls like b'em meserah, that it is permitted to sell a horse to a non-Jew. Now, Ibarlu, the following question. Shershel patam, a fattened ox, where they fatten it, they make it very fat, where it's not fit to do any work. It's one big glob. Ma, what's the halacha? I use a lot of salt, such a type of an ox, although it's a behem agasa, to a non-Jew. So the Gemara explains that this question would be Tibayla Behuda, both according to Behuda, and Tibayla Rabbanan. Why? Tibayla Behuda, the question according to Behuda, because Adkan Lakasha Behuda, where do we find Behuda permitting a case of selling a behem agasa to a non-Jew? That was Ela B'Shvura, as we mentioned before, his halacha in the Mishnah, is when it has, let's say, an injury, it has a broken hand. Now, over there he says permitted, because the Layasa L'cham halacha, it will never come to be able to do work, as we said before, his opinion explained the Braisa, because it will never fully heal. It's not going to heal, not going to use it for work, they're not even going to hold on to it, they're going to slaughter it right away, so there's no problem that you run into. I will hide, but here by the fattened ox, the chimashile, if you hold on to it, you delay the fattened ox, asr l'cham halacha, we don't feed it for a while, it's going to lose its fat, it's going to be vibrant and full of vigor once again, and it's going to be able to be used for work. So maybe asr, so maybe even there Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's going to be forbidden because they're going to hold on to it and it's going to be fit to work for it at a later point in time. So although right now, let's say when you're selling it, there's no problem about nesuni, but however the difference would be that it would come out to be problematic because other people might come sell other oxen to non-Jews, which then you would run into the problem of nesuni. Oidam, or maybe no, afil rabbanon, even going to rabbanon the other way around. Loika asi hasamela, they only said it's forbidden to sell even by a broken an injured animal, because the stami lav l'shchitikai, because they said no, we could suspect that it's not being used for slaughtering because it's too weak even for slaughtering. To the contrary, they hold on to it because they hold that it could accept mating with a male, and therefore they hold on to it for children. That's why they said it's forbidden even by yeshvura. Aval hai, but in this case, the stami l'shchitikai, where when you sell it, we could assume that the fattened ox is being used for slaughtering because that's what it's most important asset is its fat and for eating purposes. So maybe I feel Rabban show, maybe even the Rabban would agree, in contrast to the broken one where they would hold on to it and it's not necessarily for slaughtering. Here we could assume it would be for slaughtering, even the Rabban would say it's permitted. So the question is according to either opinion. So says the Gemara Tashima, let's bring a raya from the following idea. The Amr Rabbi Huda Meshmoli says, Shall base Rabbi, the household of Rabbi, Hoy Makriven, they would bring as a gift and as a tax to the king. A shershel patam, a fattened ox, which incidentally, which is an important fact, that it was a disgrace for the household of Rebbe, his Talmudic scholars who worked for him, to do this activity of fattening ox, they would bring their fattened ox to the king, B'yam Edom, on their pagan holiday. Now, Chisr Dalad Rivivan, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi expended 40,000 coins to nullify She'ein makriven oisayim, that they shouldn't have to sacrifice and bring it to the king that day on their pagan holiday. El lamacher, rather the following day, where he said, okay, at least let me uproot this problematic situation a little bit, at least we won't be giving it to them on their holiday, which we always said, giving them things on holidays, they're going to go thank their deity. Moreover, chasad al rivivan, then he spent another 40,000 coins, she'ein makriven oisichai el ashachet, that even if they're going to bring it to the king, they shouldn't have to bring it alive, they can bring it slaughtered. And Chasad Dal Rivan, he spent another 40,000. Shema Kriven Noisakalika, that they shouldn't have to bring it at all. So explains the Gemara to bring the Raya. My time, what was the reason that he had made, spend so much money that they should give it to him slaughtered and not alive? Lav Mishum Dima Asil Lishui, isn't it because the king might come to hold on to it? And you see that even though this is a fattened ox, is going to be usur. So that answers the question. We want to know shorsha pata mahu, and we had the question both according to Behud and Rabbanan. We see clearly, at least there is an opinion that holds, and that's why Rebbe wanted at least let them give it slaughtered and not whole, because whole, it'll give the appearance, oh, people will see that, look, Rebbe's household gave to an avodis kachavim, to an idol worshiper, gave him a fat ox, a behemagasa, and seemingly we see that that's usur, and that's why he wanted to give it slaughtered. Says the Gemara, no, because according to your reasoning that you want to bring a raya as such, so then she'ema kriven isayim el lamacher. Then regarding one of the steps that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had tried, that okay, let us not have to, the first one. Let us not have to bring it today, but rather let us bring it tomorrow. Mike Timer, what was the reason for that? What does he gain with that? It's still alive and it's still going to be in the hand of a non-Jew, and you're still going to have that problem. What did he gain with that? Ella, rather, Rebbe Miakr Milsabai. Rebbe really wanted to uproot this whole entire terrible situation. Vesavar Yakr, Vasi Porta, Porta, he thought, let me uproot it little by little, which he did. Okay, not today, tomorrow. Okay, not whole, but rather slaughtered. Not at all, which he was finally leading up to. But it wasn't because there was a purpose in not having it given alive, but rather slaughtered. No, because there's no problem, we could say, of giving a Sher Shal Patam. He just didn't want to have to give the whole thing at all. Now, the Gemara asks, in regards to this whole idea, the chimashile, when you hold on to the fattened ox, barya, are you telling me that it could become strong, va'avin malacha, and do work that you want to go ahead and say that it's forbidden? What's the problem? Why would it even be a problem of Sher Shal Patam? Seemingly, for sure, like Rabbi Huda, who says that it's like a shvura, for sure, Sher Shal Patam, because it's never going to be able to be usable for work. Which the Gemara clarifies, Amar Rav Ashi says, no, because Amali Zvida, he told me that Bar Taira, a fattened ox, Meshinele, you wait a little bit until it gets weakened a little bit, meaning you lose some of its fat, V'Avir Achad Trein, it actually works double as good as other oxen. So yeah, there is a utility in holding onto it. It will be Roi L'Malacha, and that was our question regarding the Sher Shal Patam. Do we say that it's for stama l'shchita and therefore permitted, or do we say that no, because it could be used for work if you hold on to it and loses some of that fat, and therefore it should be problematic, and therefore usur? That was the Gemara's question. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is continuing on things that are always forbidden to sell to a non-Jew or to do with them because of the effect it could have on the Jewish people. A marchalhem, we do not sell to the non-Jews Daivin, va'aroyas, beers, and lions, b'chol davashish b'nezik l'rabim, anything that could be a harm, a danger to the public. Moreover, ein bayin imam, we don't build with them, basilki, which is some tall tower where they would judge people and then throw them off from the top of the tower to their death. Gardim, which is also a type of a building that they would judge capital punishment, as we find, like, shnaim sh'ol lugardim, it's a place of capital punishment. It's Itzadaya, which is a place where they would do these in the stadium, these with the gladiators, and they would have the ox, the running of the bull, where, as the Gemara in Baba Kama says, that they would gore and they would kill people, and this was a way of enjoyment, of an activity for them. Ubima, which is also some type of a small tower, and it was high. As the Gemara says in Masechta Saita, that they would make this a bima, like a platform of wood in the Azara. That's what the word bima means. And for the non-Jews, they would make it as a platform where they would throw a person off to his death. So all these things have an element of harm for the public. So we don't want that if they have a Jew that they capture and they want to judge him, you're not able to build that with them, because then this might be used against harming a Jew. Avol boinimam, but we could build with the non-Jews bimus ya'is, which are these types of structures which are not for the specific utility of idolatry, which, as the Gemara explains in Perikri Bishmal, that's called an altar, where what's a bimus? It's a building of, it's like a platform of one stone, which they would sacrifice in that, which that's not considered something directly for the idolatry, because it's considered a utility of a utility. It's not directly related to the sacrifices. It's building the platform on which they would make the sacrifices, and therefore it's permitted to build it. Also, Obeis Merchatzais, one is permitted to build their bathhouses, which was made in the ground, very deep down. The water would flow down to the bottom, and people would bathe on top of these slats that were put on top, which was heated from beneath in the water. Now, however, he gila kippa, but if when he's building the bathhouse, when he reaches the dome, shememidin ba'avitz kacham, where they would put their idol, which there was the ways of idolaters that they would put the image of Aphrodite, which in their bathhouses, which related to those concepts of idolatry, also liveness is forbidden to build that beam, that dome, because then that would be contributed towards the actual structure of the Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara introduces a discussion that will relate back to the Halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, that Amar Rav said the following Halacha. Chayagasa, a large wild animal. Up until now we spoke about small behemoths, behemoth daka, livestock, goats, small flock. And we spoke about behemoth gasa, large domesticated animals. Now they're discussing regarding chayagasa, large wild animals. So that Rav said, Harehi ki behemoth daka lepirkus. It has the halacha as small livestock in regards to pirkus. What is that? So the Gemara talks about an animal that's in the throes of death. It's deathly ill. And the Gemara says in Shechitas Chol Naflam Zayin but Aleph, that a small animal that if it stretches out its hand, like when after it was slaughtered, if it doesn't bring the hand back, then that animal is considered that it was a trefa, that it was usher when it was slaughtered, because that animal was already considered like dead. It's only going to be permitted if after it was slaughtered that it does what's called pirkus, which is that it starts shaking all around. That shows that it still has the lifeblood in it. Now, if it doesn't do pirkus, then it seems like that it was really dead before and you really didn't slaughter a kosher animal. You slaughtered an animal that was already considered dead. Now, just stretching out the hand one way for the small animal is not considered that it was still alive. In contrast, a large animal, where it one movement is a big thing, then whether if it stretches out and doesn't pull it back, or whether it pulls it back but it doesn't stretch it out, that would be considered pirkus, and that's kosher for behemoth gasa. That's how the Gemara explains it over there. So that's what Rav is saying, that a large wild animal also has a lot of life in it, and therefore, if it was still alive, it would be normal that when it was slaughtered to stick its hand out and at least bring it back. So therefore, when you slaughter a large wild animal that was in the throes of death, it looked like in danger of its life, and it didn't do pirkus, rather just stretched out hand, didn't bring it back, that's going to be forbidden. That's in regards to halachas of pirkus, of slaughtering. So in regards to that, the chayagasa has the halacha like behemadaka. Avaloy lemechira, but not regards to selling. Meaning, as we said in the previous Mishnah, that behemadaka is totally in the minig of that place. Meaning, what type of non-Jews live over there? Do they engage in bestiality, or do they not? If they do, then it's forbidden. If not, then it's permitted. And that, he says, the chayagasa is not like behemadaka. Rather, like behemagasa, which we said in the previous Mishnah, is always forbidden. Because then you run into the problems about when you lend it to him, or you rent it to him, or when you're selling it on Erev Shabbos. So, therefore, in regards to chayagasa, you're never allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. That's what Rav Chana was quoting the name of Rav. V'aniyamis, says Rav Chana, but I say, afl mechiru, no, that in regards to the selling, the chayagasa is like the behemadaka, which... that is depends. Mokam shenoga limka meicha, in the place where the custom is to sell it to the non-Jews, you do sell. Shalei limka meicha, where the custom is not to sell, you do not sell. That's their machlekes. So on that, ask the Gemara Tanan. We learn in our Mishnah, which is difficult according to Rav. Our Mishnah said, "Ei meicha and devim barayis, we do not sell to them bears and lions, but like kol dovishes b'nezik l'rav, not anything that can be a danger to the public." Says the Gemara, "Time it is b'nezik l'rav." It sounds like that the only problem would be, let's say, with a lion and a bear, is because it would be danger to the public. Ha, but let's say you have a lion that's less benezik l'ram, that is not a danger to the public. For example, if it was domesticated, if it was tamed, then it seems like from our Mishnah that shari would be permitted. Obviously, you see that a large wild animal like a bear and a lion, you could sell to them, which is difficult to Rav, and supports Rav Chana, because Rav said that a chayagasa, you never let us sell to a non-Jew. That Amar Rabbi Ba'uli says, no, this that our Mishnah taught, that an Ari Tarbus, a tamed lion, is permitted to sell to a non-Jew, is talking about specifically by Ari Shaver, by an injured lion, a broken lion, as a Ketun Tamid Beis, which that's about Levi Rebbe Yehuda, that's going to be Huda, who said that, yeah, by Behema Gasa, that type of situation, you're allowed to go ahead if it's injured and sell it to a non-Jew. But according to Rabbanan, it would be Aser. And so to according to Rebbe Yehuda also, a complete and intact line, it would be Aser, and because a Chayagasa is like a Behemagasa, which is always forbidden to sell to a non-Jew, which is like Rav. Or another approach to answer for Rav, Rav Asher, I mean, he says, you could even say the halacha of our Mishnah was talking about by an intact line. And our Mishnah, however, is like a Behuda who says it's permitted to sell a Behemagasa that's injured. But if it's an intact lion, so why you let us sell it? Because Stamari, a general lion, Shavu, who ate some malacha, is considered, quote, broken in regards to doing work. Because a lion doesn't usually do work. And as we said, the whole reason why you're not allowed to sell behema gasa is because of work. And it's not going to do work. So it's like Rabbi Yehuda's category of a behema gasa, that shavah that's broken. But according to Rabban, that say you're not allowed to sell a shvura, then yes, they would say it's forbidden to even sell a nari. And Rabbi Yehuda also, by other large wild animals like a narud, like a wild donkey, where, as the Gemara will tell us later on, that you use for grinding, then yeah, of course you would not be able to sell, which is like Rav. Now, the Gemara actually asked, now, Meisvei on Rav Chanan from the following Braisa. Braisa says, K'shem she'im meichel in behema gasa, just like you're not allowed to sell to a non-Jew, a large domesticated animal, kach im meichel in chai gasa, so you're not allowed to sell to them a large wild animal. V'afilu b'mokim she'im meichel in behema daka, and even in the place where the custom is to sell them small livestock, chai gasa im meichel, but large wild animals you're not allowed to sell to them. So obviously you see that that a large wild animal is not like a behema daka for selling, which is to you, to Rav Chanan bar Ruava, where he said that I say that even for selling, it would apply like a behema daka, to you, that's a refutation of Rav Chanan's opinion. Now, what we just discussed in this way, Ravina, he actually says it in a different way. He's Rami Masnitin Abraisa Umishani. The Mishnah and the Braisa we just quoted, which one we were using to ask on Rav, and one we were using to ask on Rav Chanan, which the Braisa Digmar ultimately said is a refutation of Rav Chanan. In contrast to our Mishnah, we had two answers. Now Rava actually, he brought it as a contradiction of the Masnitna Braisa, of the seemingly contradiction between Mishnah and Braisa. So Mishani, and the answers, which these are the two answers we answered. Which non, we learned in our Mishnah that said, Eimar Chalem Dov Maro, it's not allowed to sell to non-Jews, bears and lions, Volek Kol Dov Shish Beinezik Rav, not anything that can be a harm to the public. So the inference is, Taima Dis Beinezik, this lion, this large wild animal, is only problematic because it could cause danger and damage. Halas beinezik meichem, but if it, let's say it was tamed, then you're allowed to sell it, even though it's a chaya gasa. For me, but that's contradicted from the Braisa, where the Braisa says, k'shem shem meichem meimegasa, just like you're never allowed to sell a large domesticated animal, kach e meichem chaya gasa, so you're never allowed to sell a large wild animal. V'afilu b'mokim shem meichem meimegasa, and even if that place they sell the small domesticated animals, but chaya gasa e meichem, you're never allowed to sell a large wild animal. Now, however, our Mishnah, as we've heard before, says, but an ari tarbus, a large tamed wild animal, you're allowed to sell, even though it's a chayagasa. So that's a contradiction. Umeshani, and that's what he answered for the contradiction, like the two answers we said before, which was being answered for Rav on the Mishnah. No, that our Mishnah is bari shava v'libe der Yehuda. Yeah, of course, you're not allowed to sell a chayagasa. But our Mishnah is going like a Yehuda, and it's a lion that's injured, and that's why you're allowed to sell. But yeah, regular chayagasa, you're not allowed to, just like you're not allowed to sell behemagasa. Or a vashem, he said the second approach, stamari shavur etz malacha, a regular lion is considered broken in regards to work. So yeah, a chayagasa, let's say, would do work, as the Gemara is going to say later on, you're not allowed to. But an ari, it doesn't do any work, and that's why you're allowed to sell it. So it's always considered, so to speak, broken. Now, Maskevler of Nachman, he actually asks on the contradiction in the whole and the question itself. He says, what's the difficulty? Man lemolanda ri chayagasahi. Who said that a lion is classified as a large wild animal? The machayadaki. Maybe it's classified as a small wild animal, and therefore there's no contradiction in the first place. It doesn't tell us anything from our Mishnah that you could sell nari, that you could sell a chayagasa. It's not considered chayagasa, it's considered chayadaka. And just like you let us sell behemadaka in certain places, so you let us sell a chayadaka, like a nari, if it's tamed, then it's not going to be dent nezik l'rab. Now the Gemara goes back that we had asked. The first question was posed on Rav from the inference of our Mishnah, which our Mishnah said, you're not allowed to sell a lion or beer to a non-Jew or anything that could be harmful to the public. Now, the inference we had said was, but if it's a tame lion, it's permitted, which the Gemara's assumption was that the same thing would be for any other chayagasa, that it's permitted, which is difficult according to Rav, who says you're never allowed to sell chayagasa to the non-Jew. Now, Rav Ashi had answered according to Rav that no, a lion is different. Because it's shavuhu etz malach, it's always considered broken in regards to work, which we had said is like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why it's not difficult on Rav. Now, and that says the Gemara, from that inference that Ravashi daik masnitin, that he was inferring from the Mishnah that, no, it's only by a lion, but actually other wild animals which do work, as the Gemara is going to tell us later on that there are wild animals that do work, even though there's no harm, would be forbidden. So that says the Gemara, that inference that Ravashi makes to support to answer for Rav, is also a maisav tiyufta. It's actually a refutation on Rav Chanan bar Rava, who disagrees with Rav. Meaning, we end up asking another question and refuting his opinion from a brisa. But not the Gemara is saying that not only is Rav Ashi answering Rav, it's not just an answer for Rav, it's actually a refutation of his opponent. Because now we learned in the Mishnah that says, we don't sell to the non-Jews bears and lions, but like not anything that can be harmful for the public. So the inference is, time of this beinezik. The reason is because it could cause harm. But if it doesn't cause harm, you could sell. For taima ari, and the reason why is because it's a lion. Zistam ari shavu it's a malacha, because yeah, a general lion is considered broken in regards to work. Avol midya achri nidav malacha loy, but any other chaya gasa, large wild animal, you're not allowed to sell to the non-Jew. To you have to drav chan barava to you. That's the refutation of his opinion. Who said that? No, that you're allowed to sell a chaya gasa to a non-Jew, and here we see that no, you're not allowed to. It's only nari, which is considered shaver, but a chay gas that's not shaver, it's a malacha. You're not allowed to sell, and therefore another refutation of Rav Chanan bar Rava. Now, however, the Gemara asks, the chay gas mias my malacha avdu. So, but then what is that understanding? Where do you ever find that a large wild animal is fit to do work, and therefore, like Rav had said, not like Rav Chanan bar Rava, that it's problematic to sell to a non-Jew because it might do work, which is the whole reason why you're not sell a behema gasa, and the same thing applies to chay gasa. What type of work does a wild animal? A wild animal is not tamed to do work. That Amabaye says, Amali Mar Yehuda, that the Master Yehuda told me that the Beit Mar Yochani, the household of the Master Yochani, tachni rechayim barudi, they grind wheat in the mill with the wild donkeys, which is considered a chaya gasa. And you see that work could be done with it, and therefore it is applicable for the iser of selling, just like a behemoth gasa, so to a chaya gasa, to a non-Jew. Now, continuing on this teaching that we quoted from Rav, Amar Bzeira, he says, Kevina be Rabbi Yehuda, when I was in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda, who was a student both of Rav and a student of Shmuel, Amalan, he said to us, Gemiri minoi ha-mils, I want you to learn from me this teaching, Dimegava Rabbi Shemili, which I heard it from a great person, but I don't recall if it was from Rav or from Shmuel, who were both Rebbeim. What's the teaching? The one we mentioned before. A large wild animal is like a small domesticated animal for Pirkus, which we said that it has to stick out the hand after it was slaughtered and take it back, because or else it shows that it was really dead. In contrast to behemad gasa, which is a very sluggish and type of a creature, where it just sticks out, it shows it was alive. But for the chaya gasa, it's like the behemadaka for pirkus, which is the other half of the halacha, which we were discussing that primarily of the other half of the halacha regarding mechira, but then the first half was that teaching of regarding pirkus. Now, says Rav Zeira, ki asoi lekorkanaya, so ashkachasi l'Rav Chibar Ashi, I encountered Rav Chibar Ashi, the yasa v'kama m'shmi de Shmuel, he was sitting and saying the name of Shmuel, he said with this halacha that the large wild animal is like the small domesticated animal for this halacha of pirkus, of stretching out its hand when it dies. Samina, Reb Zeira says, I said, oh, that when what the halacha I heard from Reb Yehuda, which he didn't recall for Shmuel or Rav, obviously it was from Shmuel, because here someone else is saying it over the name of Shmuel. But says Reb Zeira, when I came to Surah, Ashkechase l'Rabbi Bayimriya, I encountered Rabbi Bayimriya, the Yasa become l'mishmei de Rav. He was sitting and saying over that same halacha, the name of Rav. Chaya gasa rike behem adak lepirkus. Said Reb Zeira, I mean, I said, Shema mina itmar mishmei de Rav, itmar mishmei de Shmuel. Obviously, it was really both. Both, it was said in the name of Rav and the name of Shmuel. Now, he continues the narrative. It says, Kislekes l'hasam, when I came up to there, to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechasel Rav Asi, the Yasa become, I encountered Rav Asi, who was sitting and he was saying, Amar Rav Chama bar Guri mishmei de Rav, Chaya gasa rike behem adak lepirkus. The same halacha, also the name of Rav. But Amar Lei, Reb Zeira says, I said to him, wait a second. Vasa, you said it, that it was Rav Chama bar Guri said the name of Rav. But V'loi Sabu Lamar, doesn't the master hold Deman Mar Deshmaita, who's the one that taught this teaching? That is Rabba bar Yirmiya, because he, when he came to Surah, he heard Rabba bar Yirmiya saying over the name of Rav. So obviously he's the one that received it for Rav. But you're saying that it was Rav Chama bar Guri received the name of Rav. So Amalei, so Rav Asi said to Reb Zeira, Pasyu Uchma, which literally means to say a black vessel, mean to say that the vessel gets blackened because of all the utility, all the work that's done with it. In other words, you also do a lot of work with yourself on toiling in Torah, which is the Gemara Brachas of Chav Chesem Anav says, that says from your house it's recognizable that you're a smith because it's all dirty, meaning that you have, as the Gemara in Tainus says, that Talmud Chacham is considered like such beautiful wisdom in a darkened vessel. Because that's the way of a Talmud Chacham who they toil and they put in so much effort learning Torah and they don't wash their clothing. That's not their primary thing. So that's the giving a compliment to Talmud Chacham, which is like darkened vessel that because it's the, what's inside that counts. He says, Minoi, from me, that I told you that it's, it was the name of Rav Chama, Uminachem, from you, that you said you heard it from Rabbi Yirmiyah, from the two of us, Tishtayim Shmaitza, we'll get to a conclusion of what was the real chronology of this teaching, which is that we'll figure out who in the name said of who. It was Rav Chama Bar Gurya who received it from Rab, and it was Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah who received it from Rav Chama Bar Gurya. As the Gemara says, that Menachem Sotah was actually taught like that. That Om Rav Zeira, he said, this Rav Zeira, who said Om Rav Asi, in the name of Asi, who told him this answer, that Om Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah, Om Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Om Rav, that Chayagasa Reke Behem Adakala Pirkus, that a large wild animal has halacha like a small domesticated animal for pirkus, which is the shaking around that the animal does after it dies to prove that it was still alive at the time of the slaughtering, that's kosher to eat that meat. Now the Mishnah continues and says, Ein bainam achulu, also certain types of structures a Jew is not allowed to do for a non-Jew. The first of them, the Gemara explains now. Amar Rabbi Barchan, Amar Biyechin, it says, Gimel basilkoisen. There are three types of basilkas, which are these types of tall structures that are applicable in halacha. They are shel malchei avdei kechavim, the non-Jewish kings, v'shal marchatzayis, and of bathhouses, v'shal oitzus, and of the storehouses where they store all the treasures, strong storehouses for that of the king. Amar Ravi says, this halacha of the three types of basilkas, beis leheter, two of them are permitted to build them for the non-Jews, v'echlesa, one is forbidden to build with them. V'simen and mnemonic to recall this halacha is a pasuk in Tehillim that says, lesser machim bezikim, which literally means to say that to bind their kings with chains, but it also could refer to that the basilki of the kings, that's the one that's forbidden because that's the one where they judge capital punishment and can be danger to a Jew who they take and they want to kill, that therefore you're not allowed to be an accomplice in that crime. So it's that one, that's the one that's also, but you're allowed to build their bathhouse and you're allowed to build their oitzus. Now, those have actually a different version that Amar Ravi says, no, actually, kulam leheter. All those three basilkas that we mentioned are all permitted to build for them. And that is the Gemara, and that's why we introduce this Vatnam. We learn our Mishnah that says, Ein boy nimoim, you're not allowed to build with non-Jews basilkis. Obviously, you see that there is a basilki. You said there's three types, and you said they're all permitted. Obviously, you see there is a basilki that's forbidden to build for them. And gardem, which is the platform, it's the dai, which are the stadiums, the bima, and this altar. You see that's forbidden to build a basilki for them. And that says the Gemara, no, actually, all basilkis are permitted. But Ema, reading the words of the Mishnah, that it was basilki shel garden, v'shel it's tadaya, v'shel bima, meaning a regular tall tower is permitted to build for them. But it's, if it's that of the garden where they would judge, or that of the stadium, or that of the altar, that's forbidden. But a regular basilki, which is just used for the dwelling of the king, that actually is permitted, even the one of Malchi Avdi Kechavim.